gentlemen, and welcome Lock to Your Radio. No Show. And we say good evening to you and welcome to Your No Show. We are so grateful that you decided to spend a little bit of time with us this evening here in wonder-filled, wet-filled Little Rock, Arkansas. And where our guest is, Ms. Jay Henderson, is over in Memphis, Tennessee. And I assume that they have the same water that we do. And, of course, my wonderful sidekick, Miss Carrie Kelly, always has just wonder-filled weather in sunny California. So we know that she is doing wonderfully well. Let me tell you a little bit about this awesome lady that is our guest this evening. And, again, her name is Jay Henderson. She is an author and an all-around talented lady, and we welcome her to our studio. After embracing careers as a radio talk show host, marketing and media professional, and voiceover artist, Jay Henderson decided to add inspirational author to her roles. She first displayed her witty way with words and keen insight into the human emotion through her inspirational romance trilogy. Three books, it sounds like, Someday, Someday 2, and Forever and a Day. She most recently released her first book of short stories, Things Every Woman, Every Good Woman, Things Every Good Woman Should Know, Volume 1. So obviously, there are plans for many, many, many more volumes to come. And I tell you, after seeing her in my home state of Little Rock, Arkansas, at a unique space, and bookstore in the heart of the city, I understand why it is and how it is that she wants to have many, many, many more volumes. And so we are excited to welcome Jay Henderson to our microphones and into the studio. Good evening, Jay. How are you?
I am well. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderfully well, thank you. We appreciate your taking time from your schedule to stop by and visit with us and to share a little bit of information in terms of who it is that you are and all of the awesome things that you do and all of the spaces and places that you do them in, and to tell us how it is that you got started in this awesome field that you're in, what made you write all of the books that you've written, and how is it that people are responding to you?
Okay. Wow, I'm like, where do I start? the response has been great. This is my fifth year as a published author, and I have enjoyed it. I got started with my first book in 2011, which is entitled Someday. It's part of a trilogy. I write inspirational and inspirational romance, and I started writing Someday actually in college. I was venting. I was frustrated with dating, and I was just purging, getting it all out, and I actually, you know, mm-hmm. forgot about it. I forgot about it completely, and one day I was switching files. I bought a new computer and I was switching files and saw what I had written and decided to see what I could do with it, because about that time, several of my friends had actually started writing and putting out books. So at that point, it was kind of like, what am I waiting on? If this is something I want to do, then I should do it. So I approached a friend of mine who was named Latrivia Nelson, and she had just started her own publishing company. She read some of what I'd written and said, I'd love to put your book out. And what was supposed to be one book ended up being a total of three, which is Someday, Someday 2, and Forever and a Day. And the book basically is about a woman named T who is going through what I call the Someday phase, which is where you have the house, you have the car, you have the dream job, you've got great family and friends, but something is missing, and or someone, mm-hmm. should I say, which is that someone to share it with. But, you know, he's coming someday, hence the title. It encourages single Christian women through that phase in their life, because I really wanted to encourage women to count their blessings. Because although you may be single, you may not have that man you want. Look at how blessed you are. You have a job. You eat every day. You have a roof over your head. You have people who love you. So if you look at the big picture, life really isn't that bad.
Good point.
But of course, in order for it to be a romance, a man has to come into play. And so in the book, she meets the magnificent Michael Stokes. Michael is a retired NFL player. But Michael has a bit of a problem because he has a stalker, and a very relentless stalker. So the story, the actual series, takes an interesting twist where they struggle to stay alive in order to stay together. So that is how I got started writing, just trying to get some things off my chest.
Yeah, well, don't we all? And we find that it really works wonderfully well, and we especially find that when we go to bookstores and places where we can meet with other people and talk with them, and they say, you know what, I could have written this book because it so replicates my life. Do you find that very often, that with the people that you meet, like that you met in Little Rock, Arkansas recently, where I saw you there at Garbo's beautiful bookstore, do you find that people are relating to what it is that you're talking about and excited about sharing, that they too were experiencing that and didn't know how to voice it?
Oh, yes. I've had women come up to me and say, I am T. I am your main character. You wrote exactly how I feel. And it just helped for them to know that they're not alone, that they're not the only person struggling with that single season in their life and learning how to be what I call happy and single. And people don't tell you how to do that. I mean, once you get to be a certain age, everybody wants to know why you're single, why you're by yourself. You're so pretty. You're smart. You're successful. Why don't you have a man? I mean, and of course, if you listen to that enough, you'll start to believe that there is something wrong with you. Well, it may not necessarily be that there's anything wrong with you. It's just not your time. The right person for you has not entered your life. Or maybe you're not prepared for that person. And the worst thing you could do is get into a relationship and you're not prepared for one.
I think people
definitely need to learn how to be happy and single. And that actually can be a great part in your life, because that's the point in your life where you can focus on you and your needs and your wants without having to take someone else's into consideration, which isn't a bad thing by any means. But I think people should have both phases in their life. I think you should have that phase where you're single and you do all the things you want to do, and then you have someone and you do the things with them too.
Well, I think one of the awesome opportunities is for those of us who are single to share with those people who supposedly are wanting to have a connection and a relationship, and we have been in one, that this is an important time for you, exactly as you are saying, because you can start preparing now for that right person. And what I have found is that when we write down things that we want in somebody else, and then we say to ourselves, what is it that is right in me for this person that I have written as the perfect person for me, then that says to us, we have some work to do. And so once we start doing that work, then we move into that space and that place that allows, as you are saying, that right person to then enter our lives. What are some of the questions that women, let me pull that back, because you did have two men there at the function in Little Rock, Arkansas. So how often, let me ask this in this way, do you normally have an equal amount of men and women? Is it mostly women or what?
Oh, no, there's always more women than men.
Okay.
By nature of society, there are typically more women than men. And then if you go to an event, especially one that's geared around dating and relationships, there are typically more women who are willing to admit that they want information in that area than there are men. I don't think I've ever had an equal number. Men have always been in the minority in pretty much what I do. Because when it comes to love and inspirational romance, of course, you hear romance, you automatically think women. I actually had a male friend of mine. He's reading Someday right now. And in his description, he said, this is the equivalent of a chick flick, but it's pretty good.
Is that what he said?
Those were his words.
This is the equivalent of a chick flick. Times when you have invited men and women to come, I wonder what the response has been to that.
We usually get a pretty good response, or at least because I am not about man bashing. I know way too many good men for that. I have been raised by some amazing men, so I refuse to sit up and write books that do nothing but put men down. Of course, all men aren't good. All women aren't good. So I usually have a pretty good response because I am interested in dialogue that helps to understand one another better.
Right. That's right. That is awesome. So tell us about the symbiotic relationship between you and all of your materials. Where did you get all of this good stuff? How long does it take you to put something like this together? Is it 90% experiential, and the other part of it is just from conversations with your friends? How do you put this information together and then tailor it in such a way that the numbers of people respond to you in the way that they are?
I observe life, whether it's my life or it's other people's lives or something I saw on the news that I wanted to delve into. It's a combination of things. My first book took me probably about a year to write because I had to learn how to write, number one. Number two, I had to hone this process and get myself in the mind frame to write. You know, for some people, they say writing is synonymous with breathing for them. I'm not that person. I can put down my book and not go back to it for months and be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing about putting it down and going back to it is I always come back to it with what I call fresh eyes, because I haven't seen it for weeks or maybe even months, and I'm looking at it from a different angle when I get back to it. Sometimes you can become so engrossed in something that you don't see where you can enhance it or possibly where there's a flaw, and then when you go back to it, you see it. It's like when you're working and you've been doing something for hours and somebody tells you, well, put it down and come back to it later, especially when you get to the point where you're starting to get frustrated or stagnant, and then you go back to it and you figure out where that glitch was and you get back to work. So that's the same way I am with writing. I mean, right about now, it probably takes me anywhere from 3 to 6 months to write a book because I truly do like to take my time. I refuse to rush my writing process. I am in awe of people who put 5 and 6 books out a year, but that doesn't work for me, and I'm okay with that. As long as I've put out a product that I'm proud of, I'm not really concerned about how long it took me to do it.
I understand, and that makes a lot of sense to me. Ladies and gentlemen, You are listening to The No Show. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, and it is our pleasure to invite phenomenal people to be a part of this program to have a conversation with you about the things that you have expressed an interest in knowing more of. And so that is the why that we have invited Ms. Jay Henderson to stop by and visit with us for a little while. If you have a question, and I see that there are a number of you who are on the telephone lines with us, and if you would like to ask a question, please press 1 on your phone, and that will alert us to know that you would like to ask a question and or make a comment, and we will bring you into the conversation. If you are online with us, and listening to us via Skype or any of the other various tools that are available for you, you may type in your question. And if you will type it in, then we will be happy to share that with our guest so that she can respond to your question. But if you're calling by phone, please know that we need for you to, if you want to be a part of this or get your question answered or make a statement, please press 1, and then we will bring you into the conversation. Jay, I want to bring Carrie Kelly, my sidekick on the program, who has been with me for some time now, a couple of years certainly, and we are pleased that she is again with us this evening. Carrie, what are your thoughts in terms of what Jay Henderson has shared with us and how the possibilities? I know that you are a married, a happily married woman, but I know also that you were not married for a while. So during that period of time, what and even now, what are some of the questions that your friends pose to you about being in a solid relationship, or a relationship, I guess, Carrie?
Well, you know, I just realized today that I will be married 10 years in September, and I'm like, wow, oh, time just flew right by.
That's wonderful.
Yes, I'm so blessed. It was very much a blessing. You know, this relationship started when I was very young. I was 20 when I met the man I would eventually marry. So we had some ups and downs, and you know, what was interesting about your book and your storyline was the Christian part of the romance. Like, was it hard for you to navigate the writing about romance and leave intact the Christian value system, because or did you address the challenges of living in this, you know, salacious world and maintaining the Christian values when it comes to the relationship?
Oh, I dive right in. My book was meant to help people. Whether you have chosen to be celibate, whether you're not celibate, whether you're just waiting for the right person to come along. Because although my main characters were celibate, my ancillary characters, some of them were not. In the Someday series, I have a young lady named Tiffany Tate who has actually been having an affair with a married man for over 10 years, and she's actually had a child by him. So I definitely deal with it, and even my main character, I deal with her temptations. I also deal with, you know, men who may not respect her decision to wait until she's married. So I dive right in. I don't try to sugarcoat it or make it seem like it's easy, because it's not. But if you have made that decision, there are ways to make sure that you stick to that decision. And if you've decided that life is not for you, I'm really not about judging. I'm about encouraging. And as far as my book being, I know people have asked, first time I told somebody I wrote inspirational romance, they said, isn't that an oxymoron? No, it's not. because God made sex and romance. Sex is not a bad thing. For anyone that believes that, no. He created it. But he also asked us to to practice that within certain boundaries, which is marriage. And should you choose not to, in this world that we live in, there may be consequences and repercussions of that. I don't know. I don't know what you've been through, and I don't know what you believe. But what I do know that if that is the road that you have decided to take, that there are some tidbits, some advice in the book that can help you along that journey.
Why don't you a little bit of what? Why don't you share a little bit of what some of those tidbits might be that you share with various people along the way, Jay?
Number one, stay prayed up. If that is what you want to do, mm-hmm. then you need to pray and ask for strength to resist temptation. You also need to surround yourself by like-minded people. I mean, you can't have friends in your ear who don't respect your decision. They don't have to agree with it, but they shouldn't be trying to get you along with a man every chance they get. And also, just mentally prepare yourself. I actually spoke to a group of young women this past weekend at the University of Memphis, and I told them, you know, if you're preparing for a date, don't prepare for a date like you're planning to have sex. That makes no sense. I mean, you got your bump and grind music on, you're putting on your best lingerie, you got the tightest dress on you can find, cleavage hanging out. It doesn't mm-hmm. seem like you went into this thing trying to behave yourself and trying not to tempt your partner.
So those are some
of the tidbits that I
get. Yeah, I wonder how much of that is relative to television or radio, the movies, in terms of people, especially young women, feeling that in order to get the attention of someone that they have to dress in a way that is suggestive, that they have to wear loud perfume, and so forth and so on. And do you talk to that for the people there who may not understand it, but may have been invited to your opportunities to visit about your book, and then that way they can get a little bit of that too? I wonder if you address that as well.
Well, I try to tell people that that's Hollywood. Why are you emulating your life after Hollywood? I mean, if it's TV, it's a 30-minute, one-hour segment. If it's a movie, it's probably 2 hours tops. I mean, so they didn't show the courtship process during that. They really don't show a whole lot of deep conversations and getting to know one another. I mean, shoot, people are usually having sex within the first 30 minutes of the show. But you want to pattern your life after that? And as far as dressing is concerned, yes, most shows don't show you modesty. And when they do, the person is more of a prude than anything. I mean, she doesn't seem like the popular girl that everybody wants to be around. Sometimes she comes out as overly religious. But at times I like to use Beyonce as an example. Yes, when Beyonce is on stage, she may have on something that's similar to a swimsuit. But when you see her out in public, she has clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you see mm-hmm. pictures of her out with her family, out with her daughter, just out doing a speaking engagement, she's fully dressed for the most
mm-hmm.
part.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the people that you emulate, or those are the people that you're looking up to. You're not on stage. You're not performing. Mm-hmm. Why are you dressed like that? And if you are looking for attention, you have to stop and ask yourself, what type of attention am I attracting? And is it the type of attention that I want?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Really, really, really excellent, excellent question. I want for you to stand by. We had someone a moment ago who had indicated a question, and it looks like they might have dropped off. So if you will, please just call us back, and we will certainly bring you into the conversation. Oh, there she is. Okay. Can you stand by with me for just a moment? Let's see if we can bring her in to the soiree. Good evening, area code 954. How are you, and what is your question and or statement for our guest, Jay Henderson?
Well, this is it's good to see good people coming together. This is Kevin Mahdi. I'm over here in
Hello,
Atlanta, Georgia,
Mr.
right
Kev.
Now. How y'all doing?
Hello,
y'all Maddie. Sound good? Y'all sound really good together. Let me first say that.
aren't you wonderful?
Thank you.
Yes, yes. First of all, I want to make a comment, then I have a question. First comment is that the Someday series in particular, I read four books. I read the Someday series, and I read the first What Every Good Woman Should Know book in the series. But I want to say that the depths of the characters and the relationships, the books really touched me because they really go into the various relationships, not just romantic relationships, that's excellent by itself, but the relationship between women, the relationship between families, the relationship with father and son and mother. They're really mentor and mentee. Jay, you really do an excellent job in fleshing out relationships and going deeper into those relationships, and that's what I want the listeners to know. So if you're not
– Thank you.
So if you're, you know, just – I mean, it's more than romance. You're going to get a whole lot of life lessons. But with that being said, it seems like each character, as you follow the characters, there's just a whole bunch of layers peeled off the characters until you start to discover the core of each character and really the truth of their being. How has your life or how has readers responded to pulling back the layers of the excess and really discovering the truth of who they are through your writings? That's pretty much the question. I know it's kind of convoluted. You can talk about yourself, then you can talk about what other people have experienced, because I really think even with the hip-hop artists and the, you know, the young lady, I mean, there's so many characters, there's a lot of layers of pull back in a short amount of pages, and all of a sudden they discover something true about themselves.
Great
well,
question.
What I do with my stories is something that I call moral messaging, and I liken it to the fables that we used to read as children, where there was always a moral to the story. I always want to present relatable characters, but not only relatable characters, relatable situations, current situations that people could possibly see themselves in or someone that they know. And I just go from there. I can't say that there's necessarily a process to it because I did not sit down and create an outline for any of those books. By the third one, I think I got a better handle on the process. But I would have to say that it was divinely inspired, especially for me to write something in the first book, and it fit perfectly with by the time I got the last book. There's no deep process to it. I hope I didn't disappoint you. But I just want to create real characters for real people that people can learn a lesson from.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully in some of the things that they learn, it might prevent them from making their own mistakes in the future.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is how we learn, isn't it? I mean, we can learn experientially by going through the challenges ourselves and then saying, okay, this worked, this did not work. And Kevin, by the way, I want for you to stay on with us. I'm going to leave your mic live, so don't say anything
sure.
disparaging about either of us, or we will take back all of those wonderful thoughts that we were thinking of you when you said all those nice things. And Kelly, your mic is also live, so I want for all of us to have a conversation so that all of the other people who are not asking questions will feel inclined to do so, because this is your chance to get whatever it is that you want answered. So we want for you to do that. But when we have been through the fire with so many different types of things, Jay, we have a tendency to then become afraid to invest as much of ourselves in that same type of situation again, because we're thinking that the same thing might come back again. I wonder if any of your people, your characters, the people that you talk to during these spaces and places where you go to in the various times. I wonder if any of them expressed to you, at least, that they have had a challenge and been hesitant to come back and expose themselves again.
I think that's called being human. I don't
okay.
think that you could have a bad experience and then just run right into it again. But when it comes to love, it's always a 50-50 chance. It's a gamble. It's a crapshoot. And if you lose, sometimes you lose big. But if you gain, you can also gain big. So there's a healing process that takes place once you've been hurt. And I think that is so necessary in order to be able to move on and be healthy when you move on and not take in a lot of baggage. But I'm sure you've also learned some lessons that allow you to walk in with better glasses on, knowing the type, looking for the signs to make sure you don't find yourself, or at least try really hard not to find yourself in the same predicament. I mean, there are usually red flags that come up, and we a lot of times ignore them. And if you bump your head, get hurt, you're not so quick to ignore those red flags again.
But the Bible
itself says, guard your heart because it is the wellspring of life. So we're not just supposed to give our love and our hearts to anyone. That type of trust should be earned. And if someone abuses it, then govern yourself accordingly the next time. It's not easy. I've been hurt. I mean, having your heart broken isn't a good feeling. But if it's love that you're trying to gain, you're not going to get it if you're running all the time after that, or if you're afraid to love again.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Really good point. I'd like to ask everyone to stand by for just a moment. We want for you to know that this is the No Show, and we are part of the Winford Broadcast Radio Network. We have phenomenal programs like this on all the time. For us personally, Carrie Kelly and I are back here with you every Wednesday, and I've been doing this for 4 years now. So we're excited that you decided to be a part of this experience, and we look for you to come back again and again and again. Make suggestions for shows, as you always do, and let us know what interests you so that we can support you in whatever way it is that you would like to be supported. Jay, I'd like for you to give your website information, and I know that there are two that you use. Give those two to the people and let folk know how they can reach you best.
Well, sure. My author website is jhendersonauthor.com, and J is spelled J-A-E. And that's basically where you can find out about my books and my speaking engagements. And then I also have a women's inspirational, motivational website, imagoodwoman.com, where I feature women who are doing amazing things in order to inspire and encourage other women to do amazing things as well. And I also talk about current events. Between those two, you pretty much keep up with everything I have going on.
Excellent. Give those one more time so that those people that were walking away to grab an ink pen or something, that they can now write it down now that they've gotten that. One more time, please.
Sure. It's jhendersonauthor.com, and J is spelled J-A-E. And the other one is imagoodwoman.com. And you can find my books and any other items that I may have, like my I'm a Good Woman t-shirts, on either one of those.
Excellent. And that I'm a Good Woman, ladies and gentlemen, is I-M-A-G-O-O-D-W-O-M-A-N. Is that correct, Jay?
That is exactly right.
Yeah, because the reason that I know is because I kept saying I-A-M, you know, because in our practice, Kevin, we always use the I am or the God force. The other thing that wanted to say is that in our discipline, Jay, Kevin's and mine, we have a tendency to have more men involved more often. And I think it's because of the fact that we are more open to sharing of our personal energy and helping people to understand where it is that we are and wanting for them to share with us so that we will understand the other side of the coin as well. Tell us about the interaction between men and women at the various places where you visit.
It's always pleasant. Most people are coming to gain knowledge because I generally do end up having a some type of relationship discussion. And in order to have a good dialogue, it's really necessary to have both sides. And truly, I mean, usually there is some type of understanding about it. And women tend to be more interested most of the time in the male perspective and how men think and why they behave the way they do. It's always quite funny. And often you get men who don't mind telling the truth, even if it might not be the nicest thing you want to hear. Say, for instance, a woman may ask why a guy would get her phone number and then not call. And then a guy will answer and say, sometimes we do things just to do it. I mean, we just want to see if we can get your number. We know good and well we have no intention of calling you. And to us, that makes no sense. Why would you take my number if you don't intend to call? But to them, it's perfect sense. It's all part of the hunt. Try and make sure I still got it. So it can be a very lively as well as entertaining conversation when you have the right people in the room.
I got you. And what are the demographics of the women that you are reaching out to? What are the age groupings and what persuasion are they? More of this, more of that? What does that break out to?
I would say the bulk of my readers are African American women between the ages of probably 25 and 40, 45-ish.
Okay. Excellent. Let me bring Carrie Kelly back in here to speak to it from the female perspective. Carrie, what types of things have been running around there in that wonder-filled brain of yours as you were listening to us in conversation here?
Well, basically what came up was when Kevin was talking about peeling back the layers of the characters, how much of the, you know, layers go back to things like childhood trauma or, you know, family patterns and, you know, things like that. Is that some of the issues that show up in any of your characters?
I don't necessarily deal with childhood trauma, but it is the trauma of past relationships. One of my characters is just a man-hater, and she hates men. She thinks, you know, all men are dogs and they should be led around on leashes. But that comes from a previous experience where she found out her live-in boyfriend was a homosexual. So I deal with that. So I deal with the young lady, actually, and they're twins, Lenora and Lanice, and I deal with the fact that Lenora has a weight issue, and her husband, as the more children she has three children, one is also a set of twins. The bigger she got, the meaner her husband was to her, and as a result of that, she had low self-esteem. So she's dealing with her weight issues. She's dealing with the fact that her husband no longer finds her attractive, and she's trying to figure out, how do I lose this weight in the quickest way possible, even if it may be detrimental to my well-being to do so. So my characters, they have some issues going on, but once again, I try to make them relatable and dealing with those issues.
Great. Kevin, did you want to jump in here as well at this point?
Yes, absolutely. Getting back to, I'm kind of going to go back a little bit when the question was asked of Jay, and talking about going through and going through something and having a reoccurring issues. One of the things I like about the main character, T, and you know, Reverend Mac and I talk about love, standing in love. I've been working with this universal love and what it looks like in different areas and different forms. And I find that the character, I find that T, in the Someday series, one of the things that helps her get, you know, kind of, I mean, she just exhibits love in every facet and every areas of her life. So when you make the, and what that character, what she taught me, the character, is that when I seek to express love, whether I'm at the grocery store, whether I'm dealing with a child, whether I'm dealing with a mother, whether I'm dealing with just a guy I met at the gym, regardless of age, gender, sex, race, creed, or color, that exuding that love may temper some of those desires to have a mate all the time. And that's one of the things that T does all the, you know, on a regular basis. And there's a scene where talk about doing something you never did, but she made a decision not to be a concert promoter because she didn't want to live that lifestyle. Well, when her old business partner asked her to do a favor and go handle a situation, even though she didn't want to go back and did it, she did it anyway out of love for him. Not romantic love, just love, you're my old business partner, blah, blah, blah. And then out of that experience, the character was able to, doing something that she didn't want to do, was able to bless, you know, two other young people. I'm not going to give it away because I want y'all to get a book and read it. She was able to bless two other people, again, through showing what? Through showing love. So outside of romance, dating, abstinence, with the abstinent, the books really do, it really does a lot to show, you know, just love in relationships of all forms and fashion. And also, and dealing with the past in the books, Jay doesn't go all the way back to childhood per se, but sometimes some of the characters do go back a few years. And sometimes what you encounter in your lifestyle 10 years ago can have a definite, you know, effect on what's going on. It's the law of cause and effect, especially when you're constantly trying to teach people that you're a new person. Sometimes in life, you know, remember back, people, no matter how much you attain in life, I remember Joe when he used to blah, 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 blah. And I remember, you know, Reverend Mack when he used to blah, 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 you know. And I think Jay does a wonderful job in capturing that through Michael Stokes. So that's what I like about the books. It's life lessons. But, again, getting back to that, to agape love, universal love, and even in the, her first, what every good woman should know, just basic love and doing the right thing is always the right time to do the right thing. There was a can't remember her name. There's a whole whistleblower story in business. She gives a whole lesson in business in that book. So you know, if you get in her books, think you're just going to talk about romance, you're just going to talk about love, you're just going to talk about how to, you know, get a divine, you know, partner, you know, you're going to experience a lot more than just that. And that's why I really like her writings, you know?
Excellent. Thank you.
Well, what you're referring to is my first book of short stories, Things Every Good Woman Should Know, and there's a story in there called Success is the Best Revenge, where the character is placed in a very hard situation at work where she's asked to keep something a secret that can be detrimental to the health of others. And so she has to make that very hard decision. She and her husband worked at the company too. Does she keep her mouth shut and allow her family to still be able to survive and live the lucrative lifestyle that they live? Or does she tell what this company is doing and save others? So it's basically them versus us. And it's a very big moral dilemma for her. But getting back to love, I mean, if I call myself a Christian or loving a higher being or loving God, I always tell people God in his purest form is love. If we strip all the religion out of it and the doctrine, and we get God down to his very essence. He's love. We are called to love others. We are called to love ourselves. And then I'm a big proponent of just doing the right thing. I think a lot of the situations that come into our lives are based off of bad decisions that we've made. Not all of the time, but some, but I'm not going to say majority of the time, but maybe half and half. Sometimes we invite bad things to happen to us by the decisions that we've made. So in trying to do good and be good, sometimes you keep more positivity flowing in your life.
That's right. Absolutely. And one of the things I want to mention, and Kevin, you know me well, so you know that three of the words that always at some point come out of my mouth are serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality. And what I think people also want to understand, Jay, is that because this day may not be the right day for the two people that seem to have so much going for each other and should be able to make it work, that doesn't mean that tomorrow will not be that day. And if we will stay true to the principles of who it is that we are, the principles of whatever philosophy or religion teaches us, then we will maintain who it is that we are. And then whenever the time is right and the situation is right and both people are right for each other, they will come back into each other's lives and literally sail off into the sunset. But you had to go through the fire in order to be purified and in order to then move forward. So I love that. And we're going to do a lot more with this. Jay, I'm going to invite you back to Little Rock, back over to Pyramid Bookstore, and that beautiful space, hopefully, where it was that you were here a couple of weeks ago, and so that we can have a conversation between men and women that addresses this issue, because men are very interested in this conversation as well. And we would love to be able to sit with our sisters and our brothers and talk openly about how it is that we all can grow together and then accomplish whatever the spiritual objectives are that we have. Okay? Now, I want to go back one more time to the book, Things Every Good Woman Should Know. And this one says version 2, V2. And I want to give you all the table of contents from that book. It says, and then I want for Jay to explain to us and share with us what this is all about. The first chapter, and obviously this is to the ladies, but the first chapter says, does Boaz still exist? Okay, in other words, is this a figment in your imagination, or is this the reality of a situation as it may be? The next one, I guess, on page 12 says, heavenly-minded, but no earthly good. I like that. Heavenly-minded, but no earthly good. I want for her to tell us a little bit about that. And then the next one says, live a little. And then after that is find the humor in it. I would not be interested in any woman being in my life who did not want to laugh, who did not want to smile, who did not want to bring joy into someone else's life and allow someone to bring that same type of joy into hers. The next one, 58, is the preacher and the princess. And then what goes around comes around. That makes sense. Then do the right thing. I think she talked a little bit about that. And then the next one, the X-Files, the EX-FILES. The next one is just have faith, which may be what we were talking about a moment ago. So, Jay, tell us a little bit about what these titles mean and how you related to them in this particular book.
Well, this book is the second book in the Things Every Good Woman Should Know series, and it's got the subtitle, Dear God, Did My Boaz Get Hit by a Bus? And this book is really for women who are single and possibly at the point of frustration. It is to encourage you through that point. And just single women, period, because I always try to make my stories entertaining. So even if you're married, you can still enjoy these stories. And does Boaz still exist? The first story just examines the story of Boaz that's found in the Bible. For a while, it became very popular for people to say, I'm waiting on my Boaz, when talking about they were waiting for that certain someone to come along. So we examine that story and ask, is it even fair to say that you are waiting on Boaz in this century? Is that story antiquated? Is there anything in it that's still true? Do men still do the things that Boaz did? Do women still do the things that Ruth did? So that's what that story is about. And heavenly minded, no earthly good. Sometimes we can be so religious that we turn other people off. And so I really wanted to speak to that. When you're in your religious walk, if you are one of those people, you're trying to live right, you're trying to do right, but are you being a little bit too hard on yourself, or maybe are you being a little bit too hard on others? So we're examining that in that story. Live a little and find humor in it. It's just about enjoying life. The Bible itself tells you not to take yourself too seriously. There's a lot. And if you're single and you're dating, you're going to need to have your sense of humor intact. You're going to need to find humor in some of the things that people say and some of the things that people do. If for no other reason than to keep from crying, you can laugh.
That's a good point. I like
that. Now that I look at some of the dates I've been on, some of the things people have said or done, and if they had happened to anybody else, you'd be rolling in the floor laughing, but it happened to you. So you need to find the humor in it too.
And so
all of these are just looking at different scenarios that a single woman might go through and pulling out possibly some nuggets of wisdom, telling an entertaining story, and encouraging them to keep going. It's okay. It's not that bad. Yes, you may still be single, but it is not the end of the world. Life is still beautiful. You still have value, and there are still some great men out there. Maybe you haven't gotten to them yet, but that doesn't mean that you won't.
Let's park there for a moment. Let's park right there. If you haven't gotten to them yet, is it not also possible that you need to do some introspection? Because especially if you've been out here for a while and all of the people, all of the men, if it's a woman, or all of the women, if it's a man, that you end up meeting and being interested in, end up not being right or being losers or whatever, isn't that the situation where the hand is pointing and four fingers are going back and one is going forward? I mean, don't we also have to take some responsibility, Jay, for what is going on in our lives and then look at that and say, okay, how about me?
Oh, of course. I tell people, if you keep attracting the same type of negative people, the common denominator is you. You need to look at what you're putting out in the atmosphere to attract these type of people. And then you also need to examine why you keep letting them into your life. You know, we would all love to say that the problem's not us. We would all love to say that we don't have issues. Yes, we all have issues, but some people's are more severe than others. And some of us may need to seek professional help.
That's right. That's right. And there again, that's where that compass of integrity, self-integrity, then says, I have to look at this and look at me and be honest with me. And in many instances, then we can also, and we did this in our men's group in Washington, D.C., we would talk to each other. And share with each other whenever one of the brothers would say, well, you know what, and she did, and she did, and she did, and then others of us would just be very, very, very quiet. And then all of a sudden he would say, okay, go ahead and tell me, So what was it that I did? So, okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. We thought you'd never say that. And then you get that feedback, and you have to laugh at yourself and laugh at the situation. But the next time that you're confronted with it, it gives you the spiritual armor to actually, especially if you're really genuine and serious about doing something about it, if you're wanting to really move forward with a relationship, if you're wanting to be involved in the right way, then you're going to do the things that are necessary, and then the spirit will reward that behavior, because that is what it is all about at all times and in all spaces. Jay, tell us rather quickly, we have about 4 minutes left, what is next for you? Where do you go from here? What's on the drawing board, and what is that going to look like?
Well, I am currently working on my next book, which will be out in June. It is called Husband Wanted. I'm having a lot of fun with this book. So that is the next thing on the horizon. I probably don't have any speaking engagements until, I don't think, next month, because I really wanted to take time off to get this book finished. And get the editing and revision process started. But just to give a quick rundown of Husband Wanted, it's about two sisters and a cousin that were raised as siblings when their parents died in a boating accident. They were raised by their grandparents, and their grandfather died, and then their grandmother grew ill, and she passed on as well. But she did not understand why she had three beautiful, intelligent, loving granddaughters, and none of them were married, and she was very rich. So the stipulation in her will, in order for them to get their inheritance, is they had to find a husband within a year.
Oh, Lord.
So they all go through different processes to try and find this man. One has a boyfriend and she's having problems with, and she tries to make that one work. One tries a matchmaker. Another one tries online dating, or going through her specific circle of friends, male friends, and trying to figure out which one would make a suitable husband. So you're looking at these three women trying to make a lifelong decision as quickly as possible in order to inherit millions. So lots of lessons are learned during this story, and I think I'm putting together a pretty entertaining piece. So I'm very excited about this, which you can tell. And
yeah,
I'm ready
you
to share
be.
It with everybody.
Good, good. Well, we are on bended knee waiting to get a copy of that to share with everyone else as well. Go ahead and give your website information again, Jay, so that people know where they can reach you.
I am Jay Henderson, and my book is my email is Jay Henderson Author, JAEHENDERSON author.com. And you can also find me at my women's inspirational website, imgoodwoman.com.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we appreciate your stopping by to visit with us. Carrie Kelly, in about 30 seconds or so, do you have any final words that you'd like to share, or any statements that you'd, or any questions that you'd like to ask of either Jay or Kevin? Okay, maybe I lost Carrie.
I'm just grateful that she has given us a voice to read about, and the life lessons that are available in all of her material, and just keep on writing. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and Carrie, what I'd like for you to do is to send Jay a copy of your book. A PDF file of that, so that she too can kind of get some information in terms of what you have gone through and how it is that you are in the process of and have overcome as well. And as soon as Kevin Madi writes his book, we will have him here. He is my dear friend, so it matters not wherever it is that he goes, and his daughter is my niece. So we will always be in touch. Thank you, my friend, for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We appreciate who it is that you are, how you show up in the world. Today is the first day of the rest of the phenomenal life that you can have if you live it as you should. Go forth, be good to somebody, and allow them to be good to you. And then life will say thank you, thank you, thank you. You chose to be with us this evening, and we know that you could have done some other things, and so we're grateful. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you so much,
Carrie Kelly.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you, everybody, for being with us, and we'll see you next week, same time, same station. Be right here. See you now. God bless everybody. Bye-bye.